Z-Trim Appetite Control is perfect for taking the edge off hunger.
I lost 6 pounds the first week and never felt hungry.
I lost a full pant size.
I've lost 15 pounds in 2 months without dieting.
Without dieting.
You're hearing the success stories of people who have discovered Z-Trim Appetite Control. Developed by the USDA, all-natural Z-Trim helps you feel satisfied before you eat more than you should.
I can breeze through work without distracting hunger pains.
I don't have to exercise and I still eat the foods that I love.
Z-Trim Appetite Control is a healthy way to help manage your weight regardless of diet or exercise.
I simply take 2 capsules before each meal.
Z-Trim Appetite Control is fantastic.
For people who need to manage their weight with limited physical activity, Z-Trim provides a naturally healthy option.
To order Z-Trim Appetite Control capsules made with USDA-developed Z-Trim, go to ztrim.com. That's ztrim.com. And enter the code word NATURAL for a 10% listener discount. Or call 1-877-MY-Z-Trim. The only thing you have to lose is weight.
I think I'm a flexible, open-minded person. I really do.
Yeah, you're also out of touch with reality and need some medication, you freak. That was Bush, of course, from his interview on 60 Minutes with Scott Pelley. A few sound bites from which we will have for you this evening. Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air, not Air America, on Nova M Radio. It's about 7 past the hour. It is Martin Luther King Day, Truth Seekers, of course. Not too much to say. Hard to honor the man and his legacy when faced with the kind of horror that we have in the White House and in this country. There's no point playing excerpts from the I Have a Dream speech. I wish we had excerpts from the speech they gave at the church on Riverside Drive right before the government decided to have him murdered because he's going to shift gears and move away from just civil rights to human rights, which included speaking out strongly against the war in Southeast Asia. It is Martin Luther King Day. That's about all I can say, huh? Would have been 78 today. So Chuckle Nuts and the Vampire, Dick Cheney, both made the Sunday talk show rounds. I wonder when they were going to bring Cheney out of his coffin. Both made it clear that nothing will stop their continued onslaught in the Middle East. Nothing. Nothing. Not Congress. Not polls, not elections, not the American people. Nothing will stop them. Not until every Halliburton contract has been wrung out of every dime that could be wrung out of it illegally. Not until every drop of oil has been taken from that devastated region. No congressional oversight, no voting public. Nothing, nothing will stop their madness. And my Democratic Party is still saying they're not going to impeach these sorry bastards. Oh, man. Well, you can hear that in your own words a little bit into the program tonight. Both of them. You know, all this talk about Democrats cutting off funding. I'm flipping around the dials this evening, and I see on the news shows, here they go again, trotting out these right-wing cretins, jackasses, who are saying that... you know, if the Democrats do decide to cut off funds in mean of stopping the war and, you know, leaving our troops high and dry, well, Americans will remember that for generations to come. What? You know, the Republicans and George W. Bush and Dick Cheney have screwed our troops since this filthy war was launched by the decider. These right-wing pundits, I guess, figure we're so stupid that we don't know it was Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld who sent them into a war zone with improper equipment, unarmored vehicles, rotten food, contaminated water. Remember what Rumsfeld said? You go to war with the army you have, not the army you wish you had. These evil bastards, do we not remember the efforts by the families of soldiers trying to send their sons and fathers and daughters and nephews and brothers the proper equipment? All that happened during the Republican control of the country's treasury, and Bush in the White House. But there they are, these Republican thugs in media, and damn the media in this country. Oh, my God. You know, I've said it before. I call them whores and bastards and whatever name I can say that's allowable on over-the-air radio. But, my God, it's like media is determined to destroy, especially television. That's pretty much what I'm referring to. Determined to, and radio, to determined to destroy whatever shreds of ability we still have left to think rationally. So here they are, the Republican thugs in media and the so-called think tank vomitus that they send around to these talk shows, and filthy right-wing talk radio thugs screaming about the Democrats cutting off funds. It's unbelievable. Go to any military family and just say, have the Republicans provided your loved one with the equipment he or she needs to survive this miserable, horrific war? And I bet the answer is going to be no. But these pigs, these right-wing radio pigs, and they're in every market, and television thugs, talking about the Democrats. If the Democrats dial back the funding, where has the money gone? What has this war cost so far? $500 billion? It's gone into the pockets of the war profiteers. Most notable among those profiteers are Kellogg Brown and Root and Halliburton, Dick Cheney's companies. And nobody rebuts this. This comes out on television and radio, on the pig right-wing talk show hosts and the media experts that are sent out there by the right-wing think tanks, and nobody challenges it. I don't care if it's Tim Russert or Bob Schieffer. Nobody challenges it. It's astonishing. We'll get to that in a second. I wanted to bring this up last week because it came out last Thursday and I missed it. In Federal Way, Washington, this was in the Seattle a newspaper. What is it, the Post Intelligencer? Is that it? PI, Seattle PI. In Federal Way, Washington, last week, it says here, it got more inconvenient to show one of the top grossing documentaries in U.S. history, Al Gore's An Inconvenient Truth. You know what happened? A parent out there it's always this way, these evil sons of bitches, a parent who supports the teaching of creationism and obviously opposes sex education in school, complained about the film. So the Federal Way School Board placed what it labeled a moratorium on showing the film. One guy. The parent, some guy named Frosty Hardison, what the hell kind of a name is that? He said, Al Gore's documentary about global warming shouldn't be shown unless the teacher also presents what this freak refers to as an opposing view. Frosty Hardison went on to say, quote, condoms don't belong in school and neither does Al Gore. He's not a school teacher. Jesus Christ. This freak is a parent of seven who also said he believes the earth is 14,000 years old. He said, quote, the information that's being presented in that movie is a very cockeyed view of what the truth is. The Bible says that in the end times everything will burn up. But that perspective isn't in Al Gore's movie, end quote. Now, this freak, Frosty Hardison, sent an email to the school board, and it prompted one of the board members, another freak named David Larson, to propose the moratorium. Larson, who's a lawyer, said, quote, somebody could say you're killing free speech by us doing this, and my retort to them would be we're encouraging free speech. The beauty of our society is that we allow debate, end quote. This is how sick it's become. Encouraging free speech means to remove Al Gore's documentary. School board members in Federal Way, Washington, adopted a three-point policy that says teachers who want to show the film must ensure what they call a, quote, credible, legitimate, opposing view will be presented, end quote. By who? Some freak ass who believes the earth is, the universe is 14,000 years old? What is this? Second point. If you want to show the film in your teacher, you must get the okay of the principal and the superintendent. Third point, any teachers who have shown the film already must now present what this sick school board calls an opposing view. What's the opposing view, you asses? That the earth is not warming up? That the glaciers are not melting? That human misuse of carbon-based fuel is not causing it? Is that what... Jesus, God! The school board president said students should hear the perspective of global warming skeptics and then make up their own minds. Okay, well, let's do this then. Let's have the math teachers teach the little darlings that 2 plus 2 is 4, and then invite my ass in to teach them that 2 plus 2 is 0. And then let the little darlings figure it out. You jackasses, you halfwits.
The globe is warming.
We are a rock revolving around a golden sun. We are a billion children rolled into one. So when I hear,
I can't. I just can't believe these stories from Federal Way, Washington. I'm not that familiar with the state of Washington. My God, one irate religious fundamentalist Christian jihadist who wants death and destruction and war and disease so that his savior will come back and rapture him up to heaven stops this movie from being shown in the public schools in Federal Way, Washington. I don't get this. The article in the Seattle Post-Intelligencer goes on to say, asked whether an alternative explanation for evolution should be presented by teachers, the school board president said it would be appropriate to tell students that other beliefs exist. It's only a theory, he said. Oh, Christ. Okay. How do you think this guy would feel about the Hindu theory of evolution? Well, of course not. You know what they're talking about. Now, I don't need to tell you this, but the basics global warming are backed by, what does it say here, American Meteorological Society, the American Geophysical Union, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, and the National Academy of Sciences. And Laurie David, who's a co-producer of the movie, whose husband is, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Larry David. Laurie David said that this is the first incident of its kind relating to the film. In a prepared statement, she said, quote, I'm shocked that the school district would come to this decision. There is no opposing view to science, which is fact, and the facts are clear that global warming is here now. End quote. Now, this incident at Federal Way, Washington, started when this moron, Frosty Hardison, discovered that his daughter would see the movie in class, and he objected. Hardison, Frosty, and his wife, Gayla, said they would prefer that the movie not be shown at all in schools. The wife, Gayla, said, quote, from what I've seen of the movie and from what my husband has told me, if the movie is going to take the approach of bad America, I don't think it should be shown at all. If you're going to come in and just say America is creating the rotten ruin of the world, I don't think the video should be shown. End quote. Oh, my God. I you know, once again, I'm just stunned. I'm stunned. And I just wonder what the hell my two-year-old and my grandchildren what some knuckle-headed freak religionist is going to try to pump into their heads. I guess what you have to do is form school co-ops or homeschool, or if you've got the money, get your kid into a totally secular private school. From Baghdad, this was in the this is the Middle East News Agency. The apparently the sewage system in Baghdad collapsed yesterday after 4 days of rain. The entire sewage system. And it says residents of Iraq's capital, Baghdad, are at risk of contracting a range of waterborne diseases as the city's sewage system has collapsed after 4 days of heavy rain, the country's health ministry said Monday, today. Dr. Abdul Rahman Adil Ali of the Baghdad Health Directorate warned of the dire consequences of a non-operational sewage system. How big is that city? 6 million? Ali said, quote, as the sewage system has collapsed, all residents are threatened with gastroenteritis, typhoid fever, cholera, diarrhea, and hepatitis. He went on to say, in some of Baghdad's poor neighborhoods, people drink water which is mixed with sewage, end quote. Now, he added then that the health ministry was prepared for an initial outbreak of diseases, but expressed concern that unless the city of Iraq could deal with the sewage problem quickly and effectively, health problems would inevitably escalate. He said, quote, as a first step, municipality teams should clear the streets and neighborhoods of the lakes of sewage, end quote. You know that's not going to happen. This is another result of all those $500 billion of contracts given to companies like Kellogg Brown and Root and Halliburton, the reconstruction of the companies in Europe. They're not just American, although most of them are controlled or have influence by Cheney or Rumsfeld or some of these thugs in the Carlyle Group or whatever it is. Money that has been stolen, absolutely and utterly stolen. And why do they hate us? Why do they hate us? Iraqis in Baghdad lack all the basic needs: homes, hospitals, electricity, drinking water, a functioning sewage system. And this is all despite a sharp increase in population because the war has driven people into Baghdad. Oh, man.
But there's going to be warfare up there in outer space. It's been a hard day on the planet. How much is it all?
The best way to defeat the totalitarian of hate is with an ideology of hope, an ideology of hate.
Yeah, okay. All right, I'll tell you what, let's do a bit of this sound right now. I want to start with Chuckle Nuts with his interview with Scott Pelley on 60 Minutes last night, which we didn't see. Now, Cheney was on the airwaves Sunday during the day, talking about Congress is useless and the American people have become irrelevant. And we'll get to that in a minute. But if that message from Cheney on Fox wasn't clear enough, Chuckle Nuts here makes sure you get it. Nothing will stop his war machine. Well, there is one thing. And I don't mean to sound maudlin and hopeless tonight, because I'm not. What I'm saying is, this bastard has to be removed from office. He's got to be. There's a huge demonstration coming up January 27th. You can get all the information you want by just going to the internet. You'll find it. January 27th. Which should give impetus to the Democrats in Congress. I mean, I don't know why they don't understand. They already have the American people on their side. This rat bastard and Cheney and the son of the rat bastard, what's his name, Bush, and the rest of these thugs. I mean, my God, have you been reading the paper? The CIA and the Defense Department have granted themselves the rights to investigate your checking account? Oh, for God's sake. He's got to be removed from office. He's got to be. He just has to be. But in case Cheney's message about the uselessness of Congress and the irrelevance of the American people wasn't clear enough, Bush makes sure you get it. Scott Pelley says, the Democrat leadership says we want to support the troops who are on the ground. We just want to redline the extra 20,000. And you're saying there's no Democratic plan, right?
It doesn't look like it to me. And the interesting thing is, Scott, a lot of people are saying, well, we can't afford to fail. In other words, people understand the consequences of failure.
Who's saying that?
And but what's deafening is those who say we can't afford to fail, and here's the plan that will cause us not to fail.
Who's saying that?
Frankly, that's not their responsibility. It's my responsibility to put forward the plan that I think will succeed. I believe if they start trying to cut off funds, they better explain to the American people and the soldiers why their plan will succeed.
Do you believe, as Commander-in-Chief, you have the authority to put the troops in there no matter what the Congress wants to do?
In this situation, I do, yeah. Now, I fully understand they could try to stop me from doing it. But I've made my decision, and we're going forward.
You know, I'm getting real tired of these right-wing pissants also saying that the Democrats don't have a plan. Dennis Kucinich has a plan. That could very easily, and other Democrats have plans too, but here's Kucinich's. I'm not going to belabor it, but first, the U.S. announces it will end the occupation, close military bases, and withdraw. Second, U.S. announces it will use existing funds to bring the troops and necessary equipment home. Third, order a simultaneous return of all U.S. contractors to the U.S. and turn over all contracting work to the Iraqi government. Four, convene a regional conference for the purpose of developing a security and stabilization force for Iraq. Five, prepare an international security and peacekeeping force to move in, replacing U.S. troops who then return home. Six, develop and fund a process of national reconciliation. Seven, restart the failed reconstruction program in Iraq. 8. Reparations. 9. Political sovereignty. Put an end to suspicions that the U.S. invasion and occupation was influenced by a desire to gain control of Iraq's oil assets. 10. Set forth a plan to stabilize Iraq's costs for food and energy. 11. Work with the world community to restore Iraq's fiscal integrity. And 12. Establish a policy of truth and reconciliation between the people of the United States and the people of Iraq. Now, it's more involved than that, but you can get it. Go to Kucinich.us. You can get the whole plan. But every time one of these right-wing slugs on talk radio, these useless jackasses on talk radio, or Bush or Cheney or any of these killers say the Democrats don't have a plan, yes, the Democrats do. They've got several. And Bush saying here, what's deafening is those who say we can't afford to fail, and here's the plan that will cause us not to fail. I don't know what the hell he's saying there. I think he's saying that the alleged lack of a Democratic plan makes the silence deafening. I don't know. And then he says, frankly, that's not their responsibility. Yeah, okay, according to Bush, Congress is totally irrelevant. That's what people like Gonzalez, Alberto Gonzalez, and Cheney, and Rumsfeld, and Poindexter, and Abrams, and just on and on and on, Negroponte. That's what they have pounded into this half-wit's head, that Congress is irrelevant. The people are irrelevant. It's all up to him. And because he's an ignoramus, he believes it. He's come to the point he believes it. Now back to this interview. Bush always says his number one priority is the American people. Now even if you believe 1% of that statement, then automatically the question would be, is he listening to the American people? The people he allegedly represents. He doesn't represent anybody in this country anymore. The 32% of Americans that still support him, or 30% that still support him, only do so because they're religious wackos, and they think that George is going to bring Jesus back. Those are the only people that support him. Listen to this back and forth. He's so disconnected from reality, it's frightening.
You're not very popular in the country right now, to be frank. I wonder, does that get to you?
Not really.
You know that there's a perception in some quarters of the country that you're stubborn.
Oh, yeah?
You agree with that? I mean, people say that.
Do I agree that I'm stubborn, or do I agree that people think I'm stubborn?
People think you do. What do you think?
I think I'm a flexible, open-minded person. I really do. Take this policy. I spend a lot of time listening to a lot of people. Because, Scott, I fully understand the decisions I make could affect the life of some kid who wears the uniform.
You know, you read the polls, you know what people are saying. The war has not gone the way you had hoped it would, and they wonder whether it's just crushing on your spirit.
Oh, quite the contrary. My spirits are strong, and I'm blessed to be the president. And I really am not a kind of guy that sits here and says, oh, gosh, I'm worried about my legacy. I'm more worried about making the right decisions to protect the United States of America.
Oh,
see, we're in a war. People want to come and attack you and attack our country. I understand criticism, but I've got a pretty thick hide.
Oh, Jesus, God. Well, Scott Pelley, I have a question for you. Who wonders whether or not Bush's murderous attitude to the rest of the world is crushing on his spirit? What the hell are you talking about, Pelley, you little suck-up twit? Well, you know, you read the polls, you know what people are saying. The war has not gone the way you had hoped it would, and they wonder whether it's just crushing on your spirit. Oh, poor George. See, this is what I mean. Why doesn't Scott Pelley say, you know, it's crushing the spirit of the families who have given you the 3,000 plus young men and women that you have sent into your toy war and had them murdered, you rotten son of a bitch. Why doesn't Scott Pelley say that? Now, granted, it would never make it on the air. Are there laws now that you can't be interviewing the president and call him a rotten son of a bitch? There probably is. But the answer to the question, people wonder whether it's just crushing on your spirit. In the first place, come on, Scott, learn to talk, all right? You're a CBS news person, you know, the Tiffany Network. They wonder whether it's just crushing on your spirit. But Bush's answer, quite the contrary. My spirits are strong. Well, that's because he's totally oblivious to anyone else on the planet. You know, he says he lives in the bubble where it's fun to be the dictator and always right. Jesus God. Now, we don't have the sound for this. The sound for this is difficult to get. But CBS did not air what I'm going to, the exchange I'm going to give you now between Pelley and Bush. It's on the CBS transcript on their pay. I guess I'm not going to give it to you now. As soon as we come back, it's at the CBS.com website, the transcript, but it wasn't aired. And I want you to hear this. This Nazi little son of a bitch is really around the bend, truth seekers. He really is. He's gone. He's totally gone. After 6 years, he believes that what he says is the law.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's More Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. So in this little back and forth, Pelley says, I wonder if you feel like you've been ill-served by your cabinet members, Rumsfeld, or even Dick Cheney. Wrong on weapons of mass destruction, wrong on the connection between 9/11 and Iraq, and now you're in a fix, Mr. President. And I wonder if you look back and wonder who let you down, Bush. Let me correct something on this connection between Saddam Hussein and 9/11. That was never the case in this administration. You know, I always said we never had evidence that Saddam Hussein ordered the attacks on 9/11. And so I don't know who continues to say that. Oh, my God. Pelley. The vice president suggested there was a connection, not necessarily 9/11, but certainly to Al-Qaeda. Bush. Al-Qaeda's al-Zarqawi was in Iraq, but rather than debating the past, let me get back to the question. Pelley. Yes, sir. Bush. The vice president's been a great vice president, and Don Rumsfeld did a really fine job as Secretary of Defense. Quite the contrary, I feel like this country is blessed to have those kind of people serving. Pelley. Vice president involved in those war plans? Bush. Absolutely. Pelley. As much as he ever has been? Bush. Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, I rely upon my National Security Council, and I expect everybody to make contributions, and I expect to hear everybody's opinions. And when I make up my mind, I expect them to salute and say, yes, sir, Mr. President. Wonder why CBS didn't air that part of it. Huh? You can find the whole transcript at CBS.com. Pelley, you mentioned mistakes having been made in your speech. Bush nods and smiles. What mistakes you talking about? Abu Ghraib was a mistake. Using bad language like, you know, bring them on was a mistake. I think history is going to look back and see a lot of ways we could have done things better. No question about it. Now, the reason I brought up the mistakes is one, that the job of the commander-in-chief, and two, I don't want people blaming our military. We got a bunch of good military people out there who are doing what we've asked them to do, and the temptation is going to find scapegoats. Well, if people want a scapegoat, they've got one right here in me, because it's my decisions. No, we didn't do a better job, or they didn't do a better job? Well, not at all. I think I'm proud of the efforts we did. We liberated that country from a tyrant. I think the Iraqi people owe the American people a huge debt of gratitude. That's the problem here in America. They wonder whether or not there's a gratitude level that's significant enough in Iraq. This is unexpurgated, as you can tell, version. Next portion of the interview took place after Bush had met with some families of the fallen. And how did that go? It's, you know, I looking to the sky, it's hard to, for the family members to recount or relive their love in front of the president, shrug, yet you know once we get beyond the initial kind of meeting, it's amazing how strong the folks are, and they just want to let me know a lot of things. They want me to let me know what their son or husband was like. You know, a lot of them say, you know, Mr. President, don't let my son die in vain. And finally he was asked by Scott Pelley, how can you escalate the war when so many people in this country seem to be against it? And Bush answered, I'm going to have to keep explaining. That's why I'm doing this interview with you. Scott, sometimes you're the commander-in-chief, sometimes you're the educator-in-chief. And a lot of times you're both when it comes to war. Smile. The commander-in-chief, the decider, and now the educator-in-chief? This miserable bastard is insane. He has to be removed from office. He has to be. The American people have got to do something to get the attention of the Democrats, to let the Democrats know that they must investigate and impeach this killer, and that when the Republicans start blaming them for Bush's failure, that we, the American people, won't go along with it. That no matter who gets on television, that no matter who gets a microphone, whether it's a Republican or the pig man or the pig man's offal, that would be Sean Hannity, or any of these right-wingers, they get on the air and start blaming the Democrats, that we, the American people, will ignore that because we know the truth. This has to happen. This country can't handle two more years of this. And have you heard now about how Bush's war plan in Iraq is totally degenerating into chaos before it even begins? Because what the war plan really amounts to is putting American soldiers under a dual command, which just is not going to happen. This is a war zone unlike any we've ever fought in. And our ally, the Shiite government of Iraq, is really our enemy. And placing American soldiers in the same ranks with Iraqi Shia soldiers, who I say enemy advisedly, we are their enemy because they want us out of their country. That's why we're the enemy. They don't want us there. Placing American soldiers next to these phony-ass Shia military, and I say phony-ass because they are phony. They're not interested in going, taking on Muqtada al-Sadr's Mahdi army. Those are all Shia. That's 15,000-man strong Shia army. What, this little toy-ass Shia military and police force in Baghdad is going to take them on? No, they're not. What they're going to do is rat out the American soldiers and Marines. They're going to get messages to the Mahdi army. This is where 20 of these guys are sleeping. Kill them. Ah, Christ. And this David Petraeus, who has taken over now, and everybody is just frothing at the mouth because he's written a book on counterinsurgency. I'll talk about that when we come back. This is Nova M. Let's take a couple of phone calls here before we get to Cheney's comments on Fox News on Sunday, prior to the interview with prior to the airing of the interview with Chuckle Nuts on CBS that evening. Let's start with Ron, who's calling in from Wellsboro, PA. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Mike. Hi. I've been listening to you, and I kind of went on a site and found some footage of the Scott Pelley Bush interview, and it's just
it's astonishing, isn't it?
My stomach's in a knot. I can't believe I don't know what to call it. Is it hubris?
I think it's way beyond that. It's Hitlerism. And can you imagine if somebody like say Bill Clinton would have given an interview like this? These freaks on every single television network, especially CNN, MSNBC, and Fox, would be on him like white on rice, and nobody says anything about Bush.
Well, you know, the thing that was really immediately apparent to me is that how did Pelley get such carte blanche access? He's flying on Air Force One helicopter. He's at Camp David, supposedly, sort of like a semi-secure area. Yeah. I mean, he's taking footage all over the place, and I'm like going, normally, they probably wouldn't do that because of security reasons. who is he working for?
Well, that's
my question. Who's the guy? And do we expect to, you know, imagine that he's like, you know, operating with some sort of Walter Lippmann esque sort of like, you know, objectivity?
No, yeah. You know, the fair question is, who are any of these people working for? Remember, television in this country is designed to make you forget or designed to just grease the way for George W. Bush to do whatever he wants to do. The Republicans in Congress, not Bush, but the Republicans in Congress have created this incredible pro-business atmosphere over the past 4 or 5 years. That's why the stock market is approaching 13,000. Productivity is up because workers have been threatened that their livelihoods are going to disappear. The corporate class in this country is making out like bandits. Regulations have been destroyed. Agencies that are supposed to oversee how industries conduct themselves have been gutted. Security and Exchange Commission doesn't care anymore. The federal banking system is just running amok. So the corporations that own media in this country, they're not going to criticize Bush. And they're not going to allow any of their little whores like Tim Russert or Scott Pelley to go on the air and criticize Bush. That question from Pelley about, you know, does it crush your soul or whatever? Oh, my God, I wanted to just rip my eyes out.
it's amazing. I just feel like I've swallowed some huge inedible thing and it's stuck in my chest. You know, it's like, oh, God.
Oh, it's awful.
But that's not why I called. I just, you know, I called because I just wanted to, like, call and mention something that happened tonight. Just as I was leaving, I was in the library, and someone had left a book open on a Corral, and it was called Embedded. And it's, like, four independent photojournalists on the war in Iraq.
Uh-huh.
And I sat down to look gaze through this, cause, and I just spontaneously, after a couple pages, you know, just started weeping. And yeah. It was because there was a picture of an 8-year-old girl being prepped for her funeral. And I'm like going, I'm thinking, what have we done?
Yeah.
What have we done there? It's unimaginable.
And see, this is where media, television in this country has so become a partner with Bush in this murder. Because if television would show these images...
Well, there's a website, and I just want to pop this in really quick, and it's just www.unembedded.net. And they have all the four, it looks like there's two Western names, two Arabic names of photographer or journalists. And they have an index there, and basically the book is online. So, but it's like one of those things. There was one photo of three men who were just shot in ways just like you can't imagine. I mean, like their limbs twisted around from the percussion of the bullets, and then they have pictures of these people dying on the street. What would happen if that happened here?
Oh, I know.
How would people relate to that? Are we finally going to get at some point in the future so desensitized that we will let the arms be turned on us and we'll just like you know continue shopping or what?
Well, it's
puzzling to me.
That's a very good possibility. I read something I forget where today. That the Fox, is it Fox program that has series 24?
Oh, yeah, I've heard about that. Alex Jones, I listen to him every once in a while just to...
Well, they're doing...
up a bit.
This year now, they're doing... there's a lot of torture on the program. The
right,
idea is to desensitize the American public to torture.
Well, I always thought that there was some sort of correlation between that and, like, slasher and horror movies with kids, you know,
yeah.
That over a you know period of time... It would like make them kind of indifferent to that kind of violence, and then you know, hey, you got that Steven Green cat over there, you know, point blank saying like the psychologist, I want to kill Iraqi people, I hate them all.
Yeah,
jeez,
what's the website is unembedded.net.
Yeah, it's www.unembedded.net, and it's just you know there's just, it's like a little window into the real world there. And the first opening photograph is of a bombed out street. And you can imagine what it was like when there were people there, because there's like a movie hall or like some sort of, you know, a grocery store or something. And it looks like a city street in America to me, except, you know, it has, of course, you know, like Farsi and Arabic characters on the buildings. But I looked at that and it just, I had that feeling, you know, like Hey, welcome to small town America with like mortar shells in the side of the building and no people. Is that the future we're inheriting?
Well,
I swear to God, I don't know.
If Bush and the Christian Dominionists, I've been saying Christian Evangelicals, and I've got to stop that. It's the Christian Dominionists.
Oh, I know my father's one of them.
Who are the real threat to this country. But if Bush and the Christian Dominionists have their way, yeah, that's what the streets in America will look at. All right, Ron, thanks for the...
Mike, take care.
All right, thanks for the website. You
okay.
Take care, too. Barbara is calling from Arizona, Cave Creek. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Hang in there. Well, I just want you to know it was 20 degrees here.
Oh, my God.
You know, I mean, we're in southern Arizona.
Well, as long as you're doing weather, it was 73 here in Atlanta. It set a record.
Being warm?
Yeah.
We have a record for being cold.
Yeah, but we're supposed to get the weather you all have been experiencing starting tomorrow night.
Oh, it's a lot of fun.
There's no global...
We have a lot of broken water mains because people don't keep, that have their water.
Well, there's no global climate change going on, so what you're experiencing, what we're experiencing over here in the Southeast is just, there's got to be a different point of view. There's no global climate change going on. This is just, El Nino.
Yeah. Well, the National Science Teachers Association turned down the films, the Al Gore film, because it had a conflict with their corporate sponsors, Enron.
What?
Yes.
Now, Enron's out of business. What?
Well, that Enron.
You mean Exxon?
What's the oil company? I'm getting
Exxon. You mean Exxon?
Exxon, thank you.
And and what's the organization that turned it down?
The National Science Teachers Association declined Ms. David's offer to distribute the film for free to 50,000 classrooms. This is in December. This is actually old news. And because they're offering it on an individual basis, but they couldn't take the film because they had a conflict with their corporate sponsors.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. So teach your children well.
Yeah.
It's an alternative universe. I don't know what to say about anything anymore except, fasten your seatbelt. It's going to be a bumpy ride.
Yeah, it is. It is indeed. All right. Thanks, Barbara.
Thanks.
Appreciate you checking in.
All right.
We'll take a break and be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
I've heard their stories, heard them all, but love's the only engine of survival. Your servant here, he has been told to say it clear, to say it cold. It's over, it ain't going any further. You feel the devil's riding crop. Get ready for the future. It is murder. Bang the gold slide.
To the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside.
Hey, neocons, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. It's more Mike Malloy.
It's 21 past the hour. Let's do another phone call here before we get to Cheney. Sean is calling from Napa, California. Hey, Sean.
Hey there. Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Sure.
Anyway, the woman before my cult topic was a perfect segue to what was on my mind. All these people who are trying to raise opposition to global warming and evolution education in schools, just, they're great candidates for Keith Olbermann's worst person in the world.
Yeah, for
Monday
sure.
Monday through Friday, So I just wanted to say, the only pundit I heard talking about the Inconvenient Truth / National Science Teachers Foundation issue was Keith Olbermann last month. And it's because of this that I wanted to ask you what you think about him. I think he's doing a great, a brave and, frankly, a really very eloquently spoken thing on all networks, MSNBC.
Oh, yeah. 2 years ago, when very few people were watching Overman, Kathy and I would watch him every night. Because
I used to watch him on SportsCenter, you know.
Well, we watched him when he got his show on MSNBC, but it was very clear that for some reason MSNBC was giving him as much freedom as he wanted, and he certainly used it. I think Overman is
using... I can't believe it.
I think Overman is using television the way it should be used. He uses it as a mix of factual news reporting, and also he hits the ironic stories, and he goes for the he tries to tell the truth on this filthy Bush administration. Oberman's program is the most honest on television.
Yeah, I think so too. And the one thing I would change about his program is he does the celebrity reporting at the end. Kill that. I think he's trying to get some of the Daily Show young audience by luring them in with the celebrity news and then giving them facts too.
Yeah.
But I also want to say, especially in contrast to Anderson Cooper, who is now doing a segment called Making Them Keep Their Promise to America.
This
thing was airing before the Democrats were even sworn in. It just makes me wonder, where the hell have you been the last 6 years? You know,
Anderson Cooper is in way over his head. And Anderson Cooper is not going to be around too much longer. Trust me on that. CNN understands. They made a mistake with this guy, so you try not to watch him.
Okay. Hey, well, look, I really enjoy your show every night, and I'm going to keep on tuning in. So
thanks, Sean.
Take care of yourself,
all
man.
Right. I appreciate all right. it. You okay. take care. Leonard is calling from Glendale, Arizona. Hey, Leonard.
Hey, Mr. Malloy. Finally, I get through the modern Thomas Paine, and I'm not saying that to butter you up, sir.
Yeah,
you
okay.
You're out there, and I'm so good to hear you. You know, here in Arizona... We are changing, whether they like it or not, down here in 1480 AM. And the reason I'm calling you is, as an Iraqi vet that got back in February of 06 last year, I just think it's reprehensible. Even the Republicans, a large amount of them, find it reprehensible that Senator John McCain and Senator John Kyle, I call them the Bloody Johns, are supporting sending 20,000 more troops in an escalation to be butchered. I was there, and it was bad enough when we would go out on patrol every day wondering if we were going to be blown up. But to be in bedding with people we knew that were betraying us, that's terrible. So, sir, I'm just calling you to let you know that I'm reasonably sure Mr. McCain and John Kyle here, under our state laws, people running for Congress and the Senate can sign a statement, or requested to sign a statement by our Secretary of State, whether they will submit to a recall if one is to occur. And then if it does occur and they are told the people don't want them, then they have to step down by state law.
Wow.
And so I will be finding out for sure tomorrow, but within the next several days, I'm going to be filing paperwork against both of the Bloody Johns who think it's all right to send our soldiers over to be butchered instead of keeping them here. Well, we need to take care of our own countrymen down in the Gulf states with Sarge and the rest of the people down there. And I just want to thank you, sir. I've got some strange things happening to me, but if they think they're going to shut me up short of killing me, which, you know, they're not. I'm not going to stop. I've got to do this for my comrades. Bush is the worst disaster to have hit this country since I don't know when. But to stand by now... Everything my father fought for in World War II, all my ancestors, would be just like throwing it away. So I'll keep you posted on that, Mr. Malloy. And I just want to thank you again for your courage. They're going to try anything now. And unfortunately, I think Mr. Bush is being so smug and arrogant because he knows the Supreme Court is going to back him up like it did not do for Nixon. At that point, the officers, the soldiers in our military, the Americans will have to ask themselves, do they support the Constitution or do they support a man who is now a king. So thanks a lot, Mr. Malloy, and keep kicking rear end.
Well, thanks for checking in, Leonard, and I hope to hear from you again. Just please call me Mike, okay? Call me Mike. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
We trained the madmen. Our leaders gave them cash. They thought they could exploit them for their subterranean stash. When rulers kill their people, our leaders say it's of no concern to us. As long as we get our hands on that greasy, slimy stuff. For the love of oil, we lost 4,000 people. For the love of oil, how many more will die? For the love of oil, we're
not worth all the tears I've had to cry.
Gulf Coast countries' interests, that there be a stable Iran, Iran that is capable of rejecting Iranian influence.
Jesus. Susan reminds me, Mike, you should know that Leonard, that was our last caller, is the first soldier in Iraq to get in trouble for his blog. He calls into the Head On Radio Network a lot. Well, thanks, Susan. No, I didn't know that. Well, I hope Leonard checks in with us again. I'm reasonably sure he will. And from Seth, the flight crew training instructor, he writes in, "You're right, we are in an El Nino cycle until May. This is what accounts for the cold air being as far south and west as it has been this year. Unfortunately, the moron anti-global climate change deniers are using this phenomenon to proffer that global warming is not happening. Too bad for them, but facts do matter, and the most damning fact is the water temperature in the Gulf of Mexico right now is about 80 degrees. For mid-January, this is absurd. And incidentally, the lifting of El Nino in May coincides with the beginning of hurricane season. Batten your hatches, say I." Yeah. Okay, now... Kathy, let's do some of these sound bites from Dick Cheney on Fox News the other day with Chris Wallace. I'm a little bit surprised at some of the pointedness or the pointed qualities of some of the questions asked by this little right-wing apologist, Chris Wallace. I really am. But the answers that Cheney gives are what are just astonishing. I get the sense that he slithered out of his undisclosed location to go on Fox News Sunday to talk with Chris Wallace. Notice how he never appears on any other network on a one-to-one basis. Notice that? Guess that's because only Fox will let him preview the questions and maybe bring his rifle onto the set with him. So Wallace starts out by saying, "Let's start with the president's speech this week in which he said the U.S. forces in Iraq, and let's put this up on the screen, are, quote, engaged in a struggle that would determine, his word, determine the direction of the global war on terror and our safety here at home," unquote. Ultimately, Mr. Vice President, will the U.S. do whatever it takes to win?
I believe we will. I think that if you look at the conflict that's involved here, and remember that Iraq is just part of the larger war. It is, in fact, a global war that stretches from Pakistan all the way around to North Africa, and that we've been engaged in Pakistan, we've been engaged in Afghanistan. We clearly are working closely with the Saudis, with the Gulf states, with the Egyptians. Now, the United States doesn't have the stomach to finish the task in Iraq. We put at risk what we've done in all of those other locations out there. Remember what bin Laden's strategy is. He doesn't think he can beat us in a stand-up fight. He thinks he can force us to quit. He believes that after Lebanon in 83 and Somalia in 93, that the United States doesn't have the stomach for a long war. And Iraq is the current central battlefield in that war, and we must win there. It's absolutely essential that we win there, and we will win there.
This pisses me off on so many levels I can hardly see straight. Iraq is the current battlefield in that war. It shouldn't be, since Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. As a matter of fact, as much of a slimy pig that Saddam was, not unlike Bush and Cheney, Saddam was kind of the buffer zone between Iran, who apparently is one of our enemies, although I don't quite understand why, and Syria, which is apparently one of our enemies, although I don't quite understand why. But you would think that blowing up Iraq, which is what Cheney has done, would be just the opposite of what you'd want to do. It's my understanding now that Iraq has truly become an absolute training ground for people whom we here in the West consider to be terrorists. That is, people who don't like the U.S. presence in the Middle East, who don't like the U.S. One-sidedness where it concerns the Israeli-Palestinian situation, and are therefore considered by the West to be terrorists. It's now become a training ground thanks to Cheney and Bush. Jesus, why is that so hard for every single American to understand? He says we're clearly are working closely with the Saudis. Yeah, why didn't Chris Wallace jump in and say, oh, that's right, where 15 of the 19 hijackers came from, you murderous old bastard? And he quotes bin Laden. Why is he quoting bin Laden? Bush doesn't care about bin Laden. Cheney doesn't care about bin Laden, even if he's still alive, which most people with a rational mind believe that he's not alive. He's the Goldstein for these people. The Goldstein that was used in 1984. The invisible enemy the Big Brothers constantly got to fight against. So if you listen to Cheney's answer here, it's very clear that until he is removed from office or keels over dead from a heart attack, as far as Cheney is concerned, as long as the Bush crime family is in power, they're determined to escalate the war, regardless of the goals or the desires, I should say, of the American people and the Congress. If that's not a dictatorship, Sparky, what is? So then Wallace poses the question of why Bush is ignoring the advice of the commanders to send in more troops. Wallace says, throughout this war, the president has said that he listens to the generals on the ground and he gives them what they want. But in November, General Abizaid, the commander of all U.S. forces in the Middle East, spoke before the Senate, and Abizaid said the following, quote, General Casey, the corps commander, General Dempsey, we all talked together, and I said, in your professional opinion, if we were to bring in more American troops now, does it add considerably to our ability to achieve success in Iraq? They all said no, end quote. So, Mr. Vice President, why did you and the president decide to overrule the commanders?
Well, I don't think we've overruled the commanders. The fact is the plan we've got here now has been embraced by Abizaid, by General Casey.
But how do you explain what he said right then? That's less than 2 months ago.
It was 2 months ago. We've, in fact, looked very carefully at the situation, and we have a plan now that has, in fact, been endorsed by the generals, including Fox Fallon, who's the new CENTCOM commander, who's about to replace General Abizaid, Bob Gates, who's the new Secretary of Defense.
Wallace says, but how do you explain what he said right then, less than 2 months ago, the quote? Well, that was 2 months ago. That was 2 months ago. That doesn't count. Anything prior to my showing up on your little toy program here, Chris Wallace, doesn't count. That's in the past. So the new guys like the new plan, which is why the Bush crime family brought them in. The implication being to Chris Wallace, so what's your problem, Bubala? That's the Bush crime family philosophy. If you can't buy them off, fire them, or have them killed, easy enough. Works for journalists, too. In case Cheney's answer to the first question about the plan in Iraq was too subtle for you, here Wallace asks him point blank what anyone can do to stop Bush's killing spree in Iraq. Wallace says, does Congress have any control over how you and the president conduct this war?
Well, Congress certainly has a significant role to play here. They have clearly been instrumental and a major player in terms of appropriating the funds to support the force and the activities in the global conflict as well as our operations in Iraq. We talked to the Congress a lot. We consulted with over 120 members of Congress before the president made his pronouncement. So Congress clearly has a role to play.
Well, that's a consultative role. The question I'm asking, though, is if they want to stop it, can
they? The president is the commander-in-chief. He's the one who has to make these tough decisions. He's the guy who's got to decide how to use the force and where to deploy the force. You cannot run a war by committee. You know, the Constitution is very clear that the president is, in fact, under Article 2, the commander-in-chief.
Dumb bastard, the Constitution also is clearer than Article 2 that the only Congress has the power to declare war. Did you forget that part? Oh, that's right. You got your authorization only after lying to Congress about everything, about the 9/11 connections, weapons of mass destruction, Al-Qaeda, Iran, Syria, your mother. Jesus, God. But you notice how little twinkle toes there, Chris Wallace, tries to show he's... but that's a consultative... Blah, 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 blah. And Cheney just rolls over him like, shut up, boy, sit down. I'm on your program to try to boost your ratings. Don't get porky with me. And what's this? We consulted with over 120 members of Congress before the president made his announcement, or his pronouncement. You notice the difference there. But pronouncement is the word he uses. Now, you got to wonder, of the 120 members of Congress who were consulted, how many were Democrats? And it doesn't make any difference. Odds are he probably didn't take their advice anyway. Didn't ask for advice. What they do is sit these people down in groups of 8 or 10, these little chicken-ass Republicans. They bring them in and they say, this is what the deal is going to be, boys. Get out there and sell it, or we're going to pull your ticket to keep on conning the American public. Oh, my God. I wondered where Cheney was. I wondered why or when he was going to make his appearance. Well, here he is.
I've got a secret with parts made in Japan. Secret, I've got a secret.
I've got a secret I've been hiding under my skin. My heart is human. My blood is boiling. My brain IBM. So if you see me acting strangely, don't be surprised.
Vice President, I've got great confidence in the Vice President, doing a heck of a good job. When I picked him, I knew he was a fine business leader and a fine, experienced man. And that matter will run its course, the Halliburton investigation.
Yeah, whatever happened to that? All right, back to Cheney being interviewed by this little wimpy weasel Chris Wallace on Fox News on Sunday. Now, just in case you still don't get the point that nothing short of a straitjacket or an impeachment proceeding will stop these killers from their adventure in Iraq, listen to this. Wallace says, quote, if Congress passes a resolution opposing increasing the troops in Iraq, will that stop you?
It would be a sense of the Congress resolution, and we're obviously interested in it and what Congress has to say about it, but... It would not affect the president's ability to carry out his policy. Congress clearly has every right to express their opinion to agree or disagree with administration policy. And they will. They haven't had any qualms at all about that. But there's a new element here, I think, Chris, and that is to say the Democrats have now taken control of the House and the Senate. That's not enough for them to be critics anymore. We have these meetings with members of Congress, and they all agree we can't fail. The consequences of failure would be too great. But then they end up critical of what we're trying to do, advocating withdrawal or so-called redeployment of the force, but they have absolutely nothing to offer.
Lying son of a bitch. You liar. You liar. Several Democrats, from Durbin to Murtha to Kucinich to Kennedy and others, have viable alternative plans. You, Cheney, just ignore them and keep repeating this lie about Democrats without plans, hoping that this ever-shrinking number of Americans who support you, you vampire, will continue to believe you. And they will. And these right-wing... piggish talk show hosts will pick up what you say. Yeah, they don't have a plan. They don't have a plan. Somebody ought to show Cheney Kucinich.us, and if you want a starting point for a plan. These people will lie about everything. They are murderous bastards. Why would we expect them ever to tell the truth? He says Congress clearly has the right to express their opinion. Oh, my God, but otherwise they're powerless. Does Cheney really believe that the Constitution only gives powers to the president and that Congress is just some kind of toothless echo chamber where they can express their opinion? Yes, that's exactly what he believes. And he believes it because the hand-picked thugs that they put in positions of power, like Alberto Gonzalez, have written legal opinions, quotes around the word legal, that says, no, you have a right to do this, you're the president. To the point where this half-wit in the Oval Office believes it. And as far as the Democrats, he says, Democrats have now taken control of the House and Senate. It's not enough for them to be critics anymore. Yeah, damn them. They had to go and win the majority. It wasn't enough for them to just be critics. Uh-oh. I'm telling you, well, I'm not telling you. You already know this. These two have got to be removed from office. They have to be removed from office. Legally and peacefully, they have to be removed from office. They have to be. Okay, so the Bush crime family is content to ignore Congress and flick them off like a meaningless tuft of lint on their brown shirts. What's the attitude toward the American people since Congress is nothing? The American people who clearly voted against this madness in the last election, will the Bush crime family, especially this monster, ignore the very public they claim to protect and represent? You're way ahead of me. Chris Wallace asked this question. Iraq was the number one issue in the November election. According to the national exit poll, 67% said the war was either very or extremely important to their vote, and only 17% supported sending in more troops. By taking the policy you have, haven't you, Mr. Vice President, ignored the express will of the American people in the November election?
This president, and I don't think any president worth his salt, can afford to make decisions of this magnitude according to the polls. The polls change.
Well, this was an election, sir.
Polls change day by day, week by week. I think the
vast
majority of Americans want the right outcome in Iraq. The challenge for us is to be able to provide that. But you cannot simply stick your finger up in the wind and say,
it was an election!
Hence, we better quit. And if we have a president who looks at the polls and sees the polls going south and concludes, oh my goodness, we have to quit, all it'll do is validate the Al-Qaeda view of the world.
It's
exactly the wrong thing to do. This president does not make policy based on public opinion polls. He should not.
Did you notice how he just walked right over this little rat, this useless idiot, or useful idiot, or he has been useful, this Chris Wallace?
Well, this was an election, sir.
Just ignores him. Polls change day by day, week by week. No. Yeah, you're right. You're right, you half-witted monster. They keep going down in terms of your boy's popularity. He says, I think the vast majority of Americans want the right outcome in Iraq. Well, that happens to be get out! Oh, my God. Those Americans, according to this thug, those Americans opposed to war escalation are allied with Al-Qaeda. He says, if we have a president who looks at the polls and sees the polls are going south and concludes, oh my goodness, we have to quit, all it will do is validate the Al-Qaeda view of the world. In other words, you and I, Truth Seeker, and the other 70% of America who says this bastard has finally gone far enough, we are on the side of Al-Qaeda. This is exactly what Karl Rove, remember him? Remember Karl Rove, huh? This is exactly the message he wants out there. And Cheney is more than happy to put it out. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Seven past the hour. All right, last one. This is Dick Cheney on Fox News with Dick Cheney's new foot wipe, Chris Wallace, who made a couple of efforts. If you didn't know Chris Wallace or hadn't seen him before, you'd think he was making an effort to make this filthy politician answer a question honestly. But knowing Chris Wallace like we all do, you know he's just tossing out questions so that Cheney could knock him out of the park. And anytime, as you've listened to the sound bites here, anytime Cheney felt that Chris was overstepping where little boy Chris is supposed to be, Cheney just ignored him like a piece of scum on the bottom of his shoe, which is how Cheney sees all media people, including the ones at Fox. So this is, we're still talking here about Cheney's view of unlimited executive power and the total irrelevance of the legislative branch of government. Not only can they ignore the will of the people in foreign affairs, but they also believe they can snoop into your private bank records. Chris Wallace says, there's a report in the New York Times today that's been confirmed by administration officials at the Pentagon and the CIA have been obtaining financial records about hundreds of Americans. Why involve the CIA and the Pentagon in domestic intelligence gathering? Now, notice how Chris Wallace puts that. Instead of saying, hey, you miserable killer bastard, this is against the law. But he says, why involve? No, you involve one of your friends when you're trying to make up your mind whether or not you're going to get a divorce. When you do something like this, you are committing high crimes and misdemeanors, Chris. This is criminal activity. Why involve, he says, the CIA and the Pentagon in domestic intelligence gathering? Why not let the FBI do this? Why involve this? Rather than coming down on this Cheney. Oh, never mind. This is what Cheney answers.
This is a question, as I understand it, of issuing national security letters that allow us to collect financial information, for example, on suspected or on people we have reason to suspect. The Defense Department gets involved because we've got hundreds of bases inside the United States that are potential terrorist targets. We've got hundreds of thousands of people, innocent Americans.
But why not let the FBI do that, sir?
Well, they can do a certain amount of it, and they do. But the Department of Defense has legitimate authority in this area. It's a perfectly legitimate activity. There's nothing wrong with it or illegal. It doesn't violate people's civil rights. And if an institution that receives one of these national security letters disagrees with it, they're free to go to court to try to stop its execution.
Oh, yeah, that'll work, won't it? It's a perfectly legitimate activity. What are you talking about, Chris? I come in here and sit down to make you look good. Why are you asking me these questions? The Defense Department gets involved because we got hundreds of bases inside the United States that are potential terrorist targets. We've got hundreds of nuclear reactors inside the United States that are potential terrorist targets. Why not allow the electric company to go through your financial records, for example? Hundreds of bases that are potential. I just wonder how the military feels about this large, disgusting draft dodger saying that their military base does not have ample security systems in place to prevent some freak driving through with a truck full of explosives, to the extent that banking records, most notably banking records of military people, are now open to snooping by the CIA and the Defense Department. this is what America's soldiers are fighting in Iraq for? No, of course not. But I mean, this is how they present it. Well, we're fighting for freedom over there. We've got to win. The Bush criminals can order the Defense Department to look into your bank records because there are military bases within the U.S. Does that make any sense? When he says it's a perfectly legitimate activity doing this, isn't that what they said about opening our mail? Isn't that what they said about tapping our phones? Jesus H. Christ, is anybody paying attention here in the Democratic Party leadership? What do you mean impeachment is off the table? My God! And the cavalier, condescending way, this Nazi sits there and says, well, it's perfectly legitimate. Congress is irrelevant. The election was nothing more than a poll. We don't pay attention to that. We do what we want. You know why we do what we want? Because none of you dumb bastards will make the effort to stop us. That's why. It's the same reason a dog only can go about 10 feet before he sits down and licks his genitals. Because he can. That's why we do it, Chris. Because we can. And we will. The Pentagon has been using a little-known power to obtain banking and credit records of hundreds of Americans and others suspected of terrorism or espionage inside the United States, part of an aggressive expansion by the military into domestic intelligence gathering. The CIA also has been issuing what are known as national security letters to gain access to financial records from American companies. Banks, credit card companies, and other financial institutions receiving the letters usually have turned over documents voluntarily, allowing investigators to examine the financial assets and transactions of American civilians. The FBI, the lead agency on domestic counterterrorism and espionage, has issued thousands of national security letters since the attacks of September 11th, 2001, but it was not previously known, even to some senior counterterrorism officials, that the Pentagon and the Central Intelligence Agency have been using their own versions of the letters. The military and the CIA have long been restricted in their domestic intelligence operations, and both are barred from conducting traditional domestic law enforcement work. Carl Kropf, a spokesman for the Director of National Intelligence, said intelligence agencies like the CIA use the letters only on a, quote, limited basis, end quote. Pentagon officials defend the letters as valuable tools and said they were part of a broader strategy since the September 11 attacks to use more aggressive intelligence gathering tactics, a priority of former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. Government lawyers say the legal authority for the Pentagon and the CIA to use national security letters in gathering domestic records dates back, nearly three decades, and, by their reading, was strengthened by the anti-terrorism law known as the USA Patriot Act. Did you know that the USA Patriot Act would give these Nazis the right to look into your banking records, your IRS records, your medical records, your phone call records, your electric bill records? Did you know that? Usually, the financial documents collected through the letters do not establish any links to espionage or terrorism and have seldom led to criminal charges. Thomas Gandy, a senior Army counterintelligence official, said, quote, "We may find out this person has unexplained wealth for reasons that have nothing to do with being a spy, in which case we're out of it." Yeah. Oh, my God. The military being used for domestic investigations and ultimately law enforcement. We'll be right back.
Got the flying monkey right blues? Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
Two past the hour. A little bit more on this was the article that Chris Wallace was referring to in the New York Times. Military officials say the Right to Financial Privacy Act of 1978, that's what it was called, the Right to Financial Privacy, which establishes procedures for government access to sensitive banking data, first authorized them to issue national security letters. The military had used the letters sporadically for years, officials say, but the pace accelerated in late 2001 when lawyers and intelligence officials concluded that the Patriot Act strengthened their ability to use the letters to seek financial records on a voluntary basis and to issue mandatory letters to obtain credit ratings, the officials said. Now, the Patriot Act does not specifically mention military intelligence or CIA officials in connection with the national security letters. Some FBI officials said they were surprised by the Pentagon's interpretation of the law when military officials first informed them of it. A former counterterrorism official said, quote, it was a very broad reading of the law, end quote. While the letters typically have been used to trace the financial transactions of military personnel, they also have been used to investigate civilian contractors like KBR, Halliburton, and people with no military ties who may pose a threat to the military, officials said. What? One prominent case in which letters were used to obtain financial records, according to two military officials, was that of the Muslim chaplain at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, who was suspected in 2003 of aiding terror suspects imprisoned at the facility. The case against the chaplain, James Yee, collapsed. Remember that? There was no there there. There was nothing there. We had him on the program. Remember, Kathy? Eugene Fidel, a defense lawyer for the former chaplain and a military law expert, said he was unaware that military investigators have used national security letters to obtain financial information about Mr. Yee, nor was he aware that the military had ever claimed the authority to issue the letters. Mr. Fidel said he found the practice disturbing, in part because the military does not have the same checks and balances when it comes to American civil rights as does the FBI. Mr. Fidel asked, where's the accountability? That's the evil of it. It doesn't leave fingerprints. Have you had enough, truth seeker? Huh? Oh, by Christ, I have. I swear. Did you think this was going to happen? Huh? They engineer an attack on this country on September 11th, either by their ineptitude, by their ignorance, by their stupidity, or by their deliberate cooperation. You make the call. I don't care. Either way. 19 people with box cutters defeat the most sophisticated military-industrial complex in the history of the human race without complicity inside the Bush crime family, either through its unwillingness to listen to the absolute truth. Osama bin Laden determined to strike within the U.S. Or their willingness, their eagerness to sacrifice the lives of 3,000 people in New York and D.C. and Pennsylvania in order to further their goals. You make the call. Either way, it's sickening. And these sons of bitches are still in power. And now they are telling you and me, they're telling Scott Pelley on CBS, they're telling Chris Wallace on Fox, they're telling the American people when the little twerp sits there in the library, not in the Oval Office. Somebody said, why isn't he in the Oval Office surrounded by flags? No. The photo op demanded the library, you know, books, thinking. And now they inform us that the American public and the American Congress and the American system of conducting elections, none of it matters. And you know what? If we don't remove them from office, none of it will.
They say don't step off the sidewalk and don't cross over the line. But we'll serve time at night when the lights begin to dim.
Mike Malloy Show, you are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
Well, as Darth Cheney said, it's perfectly legitimate activity for the Pentagon and the CIA to obtain financial records of Americans. Because, you see, we got to protect the troops stationed on military bases in the United States. Somehow, that will protect the troops. If the FBI or the CIA takes a look at your checking account or your deposits and withdrawals, that will protect the troops. And no legal boundaries have been crossed. There's nothing wrong with it, nothing illegal. It doesn't violate people's civil rights. According to Cheney, it's all okay. I don't know. Sometimes I can't really get my mind around that this is going on. I wonder if people like Hannity or Limbaugh or some of these right wing talk show hosts who make a fortune. I wonder if they understand that their records are being looked at too. And if that bothers them. So that when the time comes, if a Limbaugh or a Hannity ever crosses the Bush crime family, after all the access they've been given, it's been such a mutual masturbation society between the Bush crime family and the right wing and media in this country. But it's just like J. Edgar Hoover, America's favorite trans cross-dresser. I won't say transvestite, he was a cross-dresser. Oh, that means the same thing? Well, whatever. America's favorite crossdresser, J. Edgar Hoover, used to collect information on people who were huge supporters of the FBI. And J. Edgar's insatiable quest to find out every little bit of dirt he could about everybody. Because that's what he was. He was a voyeur. That's what everybody in the Bush crime family is. They are voyeurs. They laugh at the religious right. They bitch slap the Constitution of the United States. They reserve for themselves the right to look anywhere they want to look. And can you imagine when they sit down and look at the records, say the financial records of Rush Limbaugh, and realize that he's going to the Dominican Republic so he can have sex with underage teenagers? Don't you know they just sit there and giggle and hoot and guffaw and holler? And say, hey, Limbaugh, keep it up, buddy. But you ever cross us and this all becomes public knowledge, huh? They've got to be removed from office. They have to be. Back to your phone calls. Sarge has been holding on forever. Hey, Sarge, welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
There's two things I wanted to discuss. Martin Luther King, and I want to give you a news break on Katrina down here. But before I do, let me say Leonard Clark is also running for Senate against John McCain in Arizona. So, and he's my Iraq specialist at unreportednews.net.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so now that I've said that. Martin Luther King. You know, I remember the news media back when King was doing all of his demonstrations and things. And, you know, they played King to be a bad guy, to be one of the dirty scoundrels of our time, a communist and all of this. You remember those billboards with the communist school?
Oh, sure.
And all that. Yeah. But, you know, I just can't help but wonder, what would Martin Luther King do today?
I don't know.
It just really surprises me because, you know, Martin Luther King, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I can see him just saying, you know, this has got to stop. There's no way under the sun we can let this stand. So, you know, it just kind of bothers me that we're not more active about this thing.
Well, I understand. Not to be a smartass here, but what Martin Luther King would do would be, in my opinion, he would just be murdered again by the U.S. government because he would speak out against this the same way he started to speak out against the what we were doing in Southeast Asia generally, and Vietnam in particular. You know, his family still believes that his death was part of a government organized conspiracy. I'm not saying anything positive about his children because I know most of them here in Atlanta, and they're not the kind of people that bring a whole lot of honor to the Martin Luther King family and what he's done. But on the other hand, they firmly believe that their father was murdered by a government conspiracy. So,
well, you know, I can remember him very well, and he impressed me. Even though in the area I live in, naturally, you can expect he was Satan.
Sure.
Incarnate.
But, oh, sure. Absolutely.
I never felt that way because every time I'd listen to him, I was young enough to have sense enough to stop and listen. And I listened to him, and I said, well, you know, what he's saying makes perfect sense. There's nothing wrong with what he's saying. He's
sure,
right.
Sure.
Now, let me move on to this next thing, and I'll hang up. I have discovered that there's a lot more damage down here than I had originally thought. I was able to get in touch with people here in my county, Marion County, and they have been running some investigations into the things here,
right?
And I found out there is so much more damage here than I had been led to believe, and it's a far worse thing. They got a crew coming in 2 weeks that's going to do some work down here, and they told me that the amount of damage they have to do just in this county and Jefferson Davis County is so bad that they're probably going to have problems getting the money to do it with.
Mm.
And we're 85 miles from Gulfport. So you can imagine how ravaged this is. And with the incompetency of the people in charge, if this isn't enough, if it isn't enough for you to want impeachment, then you're either the sorriest person in the world, or you're just not paying attention.
Yeah, what this administration has done where it concerns the Mississippi Gulf Coast is just unbelievable to me.
If Martin Luther King saw what was going on today, he would be yelling his head off because there's no way he would let the people suffer like they're suffering down here. Black, white, it didn't matter, Martin Luther King. He just wanted everybody to do right, and that's what I want, Mike. That's what you want, you know, and this is ridiculous. It's just got to stop, Mike.
Yeah, I heard on the news the other day that 3,000-4,000 people in New Orleans had finally had enough and had a demonstration. They're angry,
uh-huh.
They're hurt, they're frustrated. There was a couple articles in the New York Times over the past several days about the conscious decisions being made to just let the areas that were really whacked by the flooding and in your area by the storm, just to let them die. Just to let them die.
Yeah, that's what they're doing, Mike. And, you know, This is one holiday I actually celebrate because I had so much respect for Martin Luther King. So this is one day I'll be glad to say a holiday greeting to you. Happy Martin Luther King Day. And
thanks.
I'm gone, my friend.
All right. Thanks, Sarge. Bye. Appreciate you checking in. Sean is calling from San Francisco. Hey, Sean. Thanks for holding on.
Yes, Mike Miller, you are... I cannot believe I'm talking to you right now. But 2 points. My first point about Martin Luther King.
Uh-huh.
To all the Democrats out there who went out and voted and felt so good about their vote and now we've voted and... Yeah, what do we have? Same old, same old. I will say to them, welcome to a teaspoon of feeling black.
Sean, let me interrupt you. I don't know. Are you on a cell phone or a
cord? Yes,
you are.
Yes.
We're getting about every other word that you're saying.
Ooh, I'm very sorry about that.
Yeah, and I know you've been holding on a long time, but it's just absolutely impossible to get the gist of what you're saying. You can try it one more time. Go ahead.
Okay. What I was trying to say was that for all the Democrats out there. Who voted? Can you hear me a little better now?
Yeah, a little bit better. Go ahead. For all the Democrats, Democrats.
Who went out there and voted for a change, and they went out and voted, and they felt so good about voting, and they saw the change.
Yeah.
And then they are feeling like, what is happening right now? I'm saying, welcome to feeling a little black. This is what black folks have been feeling for 200 years.
That's true.
Helplessness.
That's true.
This hope, we think we have a hope, and then there is nothing. That's
yeah.
The one point. The second point I'm going to make is about Iraq.
Okay.
The point about Iraq, before I go about that, I would like to say to Mike Malloy, I want to give you a honorary membership to the black family. Now, to the second point about...
thank you. Hey, listen, hold on, Sean. I got to do a break here, and when we come back, we're going to be very limited on time. So... I appreciate what you're saying, and I know you held on a long time. Damn it. Just stay there. We'll be right back after the break.
Has anybody here seen my old friend Martin? Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people.
Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book.
10 before the hour. Very quickly here, thanks to the crew, Ian Huff, who engineered the program and handled your calls in Phoenix, Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Mark Marshall, the moderators at MikeMolloy.com, Ben Birch, who archives the program at NovaMradio.com, and Catherine Bay, who is our executive producer. Thanks to everybody. Back to Sean. Sean, got another couple of minutes. Go ahead.
Okay. 4 years they have spent committing the crime. They have 2 years to cover their tracks. The next 2 years is how to get away with it. We are sitting back here and talking about, impeachment. Forget about impeachment. Criminal charges going way back to Papa. We have to wrap all these guys in and post them into the dungeon that they belong in. Have a lovely day, sir.
Well, I don't disagree with the idea, Sean, but the Constitution is such that literally George Bush could murder somebody in front of the White House and he's immune from prosecution until... he's out of office, and the only way he can be taken out of office, other than his term running out or being voted out, is by impeachment. So
the petition has been trampled on. The constitution cannot save us right now. We have to get onto the streets. Forget about being comfortable in your house. We have to get on the streets like they did in Yugoslavia, everywhere. Americans are too comfortable. You have to get out there.
Well, you don't get any argument from me. I completely agree. On the 27th of this month, there's going to be... There are planned demonstrations, and it'll be very interesting, and I don't use that term cavalierly. It'll be very interesting to see how many Americans turn out for these demonstrations.
Sir, it is the Constitution has been taken over. We have to take the matters into our hands. And I'm not talking about killing people. So forget about peaceful demonstration. We have to get in jail. We have to get our heads bombed. We have to go back and show pictures to our grandchildren. This is what happened to us in the year 2007 under the Bush administration. Grandmas have to get their heads busted. Grandmas have to be on TV. We have to take back this TV guy.
I hear you. All right, Sean, thank you. Listen, I always enjoy your calling in, but the next time, do call from a landline, because it's
just... Thank you, sir. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
So difficult. Thanks, Sean. Thanks a
lot. And say hello to Molly for me, sir.
I'll do it. All right, take care. Take care indeed. Dave is calling from Holyoke, Massachusetts. Dave?
Hey, Mike. How you doing? Great show.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, Martin Luther King's, what a wonderful man. I was born in 65, so I was about 3 years old when he was murdered.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be profoundly disturbed at what happened to New Orleans. I know that for a fact. I wonder how he would have approached this. The lack of concern from our government. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm left speechless. That uh-huh. has given me many nights of wakefulness because of that. I can't believe that our government would be that hard and that
criminal.
My God.
Mm-hmm. What happened? We got disconnected. You know, it raises the question of where are the Martin Luther Kings of today? And with all due respect to people like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, where are the white people? You know, where you know, MLK, Martin Luther King, everybody acts like today is a holiday for the black folk. Yeah, it's a holiday for the black folk. Well, this is so black America, you know, so they have something. You know, when we celebrate President's Day, although we don't celebrate it, or we celebrate Labor Day, or we celebrate Easter, or whatever it is, do people say, well, this is white folks' holidays, and we let the black folk participate? How did Martin Luther King Day, who decided it was going to be a holiday for black folks? It's a holiday for Americans. It's a holiday for anyone who believes in justice. It's a holiday for anyone who believes in racial justice and economic justice and criminal justice. But you see, they being media again, the media and the white politicians the white Southern politicians have turned this historically into a day for the Negroes. And the point is totally missed. Now, I realize that an effort is made, even in the white elementary schools, to they're all segregated. They're in worse shape in terms of segregation now than they were when King was assassinated. But in the white schools, is the same attention paid as in the black schools? Listen to me. I'm talking about white schools and black schools. Do you hear what I'm saying? Sure you do. Somebody asked, what would Martin Luther King do today? What would he have done about the chaos and disaster and horror of the Gulf Coast of the United States? as a result of the hurricane and the flood, what would he do? Oh, my God. For one thing, he would probably just sit down, put his head in his hands, and weep. These are strange times, aren't they? Thanks for participating tonight. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Novam Radio.